At breakfast the next morning, as we worked side by side on the dish line, Carol said, "I'm hearing there's some kind of big card game going on in your dorm. Is that true?" "I guess it is," I said. She looked at me over her shoulder, giving me that smile, the one I always thought about when I thought about Carol, the one I think about still. "Hearts? Hunting the bitch?" "Hearts," I agreed, "hunting the bitch." "I heard that some guys are getting in over their heads, getting in grades trouble." "I guess that might be," I said. Nothing was coming down the conveyor belt, not so much as a single tray. There's never a rush when you need one, I've noticed. "How are your grades?" she asked. "I know it's none of my business, but I want..." "Information. Yeah, I know. I'm doing okay. Besides, I'm getting out of the game." She gave me the smile, and sure, I still think about it sometimes. You would, too. The dimples, the slightly curved lower lip that knew so many nice things about kissing, the dancing blue eyes. Those were days when no girl saw further into a boy's dorm than the lobby, and vice versa, of course. Still, I have an idea that for a little while in October and November of 1966, Carol saw plenty, more than I did. But of course, she wasn't insane. At least, not then. The war in Vietnam became her insanity. Mine as well, and Skip's, and Nate's. Hearts were nothing, really, only a few tremors in the earth, the kind that flapped the screen door on its hinges and rattled the glasses on the shelves. The killer earthquake, the apocalyptic continent drowner, was still on its way. Barry Margot and Brad Witherspoon both got the Dairy News delivered to their rooms, and the two coffees had usually made the rounds of the third floor by the end of the day. We'd find the remnants in the lounge when we took our seats for the evening session of Hearts, the pages torn and out of order, the crossword filled in by three or four different hands. There would be mustaches inked on the photo dot faces of Lyndon Johnson and Ramsey Clark and Martin Luther King. Someone, I never found out who, would invariably put large smoking horns on Vice President Humphrey and print "Hubert the Devil" underneath in tiny anal capital letters. The news was hawkish on the war, putting the most positive spin on each day's military events and relegating any protest news to the depths, usually beneath the community calendar. Yet more and more, we found ourselves discussing not movies or dates or classes as the cards were shuffled and dealt. More and more, it was Vietnam. No matter how good the news or how high the Kong body count, there always seemed to be at least one picture of agonized U.S. soldiers after an ambush or crying Vietnamese children watching their village go up in smoke. There was always some unsettling detail tucked away near the bottom of what Skip called the Daily Kill column, like the thing about the kids who got wasted when we hit the Kong PT boats in the Delta.